Thank you for joining us again for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. Satellite Nation is a weekly call-in show geared towards the hobby side of all things television. Brought to you by Satellite Guys Radio. Now here are your hosts, Michael and Brian.
Good evening, Satellite Nation. Good evening. Michael, how you doing?
How are you?
Okay, well, it looks like we are dealing with a beautiful Skype thing this evening. So if we have Michael breaking up a little bit on us, it's thank you to the wondrous technology of Skype. Good evening, Satellite Nation. I'm Brian Gohl, a.k.a. Titanium. And hanging out somewhere in Never Never Land is Michael Graves, KE4EST. Good evening, Satellite Nation. On this show, our guest will be Scott Krakowski. Now, Scott is the owner of Satellite Guys Forums, and tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about the history of Satellite Guys, the special relationships that they have with industry leaders, and, of course, Satellite Guys Radio. Now it sounds like Michael is having some problems this evening. So the phone lines will be open for the entire show tonight, and this is October 22nd. So we look forward to your phone calls and your questions and comments. Now jot down these numbers and give us a call at 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897. And for international callers, or just to save us a dime, you can call 347-327-9319. And once again, that's 347-327-9319.
Yeah, and if you happen to miss an episode of Satellite Nation, you can head on over to satelliteguys.us. Anytime right after the show, or well, sometimes give us a few minutes, and you'll find it over there in the radio forums, the replay of the show. You can click on and listen to that, and also don't forget to always go check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Satnet Radio.
Well, we also want to give a special thanks, of course, to our guest tonight, Scott Krakowski, owner of SatelliteGuys.us. I also want to thank Dave over at Got C-Band for the audio server and helping us get over to Access America. And the person that runs Access America, we want to thank Ralph Black. Now, on Access America, they are heard streaming and also on Galaxy 19 KU band. And Sat Talk Radio is a show that he and Michael Cole do, and that airs right after this show, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, and that airs for 2 hours, and it is also heard for the entire two-hour block on Satellite Guys Radio.
All right, now, like we said earlier tonight, we're going to have Scott Stowski on here in a little while. We'll bring him in. And he's going to talk a little about Satellite Guys and the history of that. And he's going to fill us in on what's going on in the world of Dish Network and DirecTV and all them paid subscription services and all that. Now, what, Brian, is the biggest thing on everybody's mind right now that everybody's looking at over there on free air?
Well, I think right now on free-to-air, something that's really kind of caught everybody's attention was the announcement that Michael Cole made last Friday night on Sat Talk Radio, and that was the departure of some channels that we all really like to watch on both 99 West and on 101 West. Though this is rumor at this time, Mike does say it comes from a very reputable source, so... Unfortunately, some of those channels are channels that I watch daily, but You know, we've been in this for many, many years. Channels come, channels go, and tomorrow there's going to be a new channel launching somewhere, and then we're all going to be excited about the new one, huh?
Yep, exactly. That's the way it goes. Everybody's always, some of these Skyspun people, you know, was running around with their hands up in the air. But
Chicken Little, Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
Nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's going nowhere.
Yeah, unfortunately, when people get on there, they don't realize the damage that they're doing to people who might be a little impressionable or new to the hobby when they say, you know, it's going away. And, you know, I'm sorry, but that just shows ignorance, in my opinion. Anybody who's been in satellite for many, many years knows that channels come, channels go. And I remember, what, three, four years ago when the equity channels went away. You know, everybody was, well, let's pack up our satellite gear and nothing's good anymore. This is the end of satellite. And here we are 4 years later, more channels than ever.
Yep, and it's still going, and I don't see anybody packed up. So.
Well,
and some people just like to stir the pot, you know.
Yeah, well, it thins the herd.
So yeah, it definitely ain't going nowhere. But I knew that'd be the first thing everybody be listening. What are they going to talk about that? Is anything new? And, nope, just a rumor. We know what you know.
You know, and the unfortunate thing, though, is some of those channels were easily received on a small micro or mini bud dish. And so I think for the guys who have gotten into C-band and are just using an undersized reflector, this is going to impact them because some of those channels were very easily received with a 4 foot dish or slightly smaller.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. But you know, there'll be something else coming along or something. And I need to tell you, I watch them a lot. The networks, you know, and I still do. I mean, they ain't gone yet. But you know, besides the PBS, we watch a lot. I switch over the evening. I mean, the wife watch stuff off of, you know, whatever's on the networks we want to watch. And so we'll just have to find another solution.
Right. Well, you know, the channels that were on the Virgin Island mucks and the Puerto Rican mucks, those channels, you know, you can watch them in all their HD glory if you have a larger dish anyway. So that's not really a loss, but it was just that convenience of having those channels on one mucks, only using one timer, you know, to record both of them on using a single dish and a single receiver, depending on what receiver you had. That will be missed. But, you know, the other networks are available in their time zones and even better quality. So I think the people that are really going to get hurt on this are the ones that have the mini buds, the micro buds. And I certainly hope we can find a couple of those other channels on other satellites. I really enjoy some of those other networks that are up there. And I'm not going to talk about them right now because even though they're going away, you know, I'm not really going to go out there and chat in public about what's up there, but they'll be missed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, do you want to go ahead and let's see if Scott is out there and hanging out? I know he's not at home this evening. He's going to be coming in on his mobile. Scott, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening, Hello. Scott. Yeah, just want to introduce anybody who's listening. And if they don't know who Scott is the owner and founder of Satellite Guys. Now, satelliteguys.us is the largest forum, and it isn't just satellite. Scott, how did you get into this owning a forum? Tell us a little bit about the history.
Well, I actually started a long time ago when I was about 18 years old. I actually owned an internet company with a couple friends here in Connecticut called North American Internet. Purchased my first 10-foot C-band dish and put it on top of the garage of my apartment building. It was a funny story there. I asked my landlord if I could put a satellite dish on the garage and back. She said, "How big is it going to be?" I said, 10 feet. She said, "Sure, no problem." So they came, put it in. And she only come around a couple times a year, but when she came around, she goes, "Holy crap, you told me it's got to be a 10-foot dish." I asked if she wanted to measure. But at that time, I was helping out Gary Bourgeois with Friday Night Live. And since I was working at the internet company, I was working with a company called Real Audio.
Could we stop for just a second? Could you tell us a little bit about that radio show? Because there's a lot of people listening out there that don't know about that show. And are they available on the internet archived anywhere?
I would love to find them on the internet archived. Gary passed away a number of years ago, and I miss him dearly. But Friday Night Live was a talk show, and for the first hour or so, it was just all satellite news. A person named Mike Nasor wrote the news for Gary, sent it over to him every week, and Gary read the news, and then we went into phone calls and talked about everything going on in the world of satellite. And it was such a great show. It was 3-4 hours long, and anyway, getting back to the internet side of things, I was taking Friday Night Live and encoding it so that people could listen to it on the internet. There was no live streaming when we started doing this.
Wow.
To encode a one-hour show, it took 4 hours of encoding time. So it was pretty intensive to take a 3-hour show and then encode it and then put it online for people to download using the Real Audio software. As I said, we were testing a number of things for Real Audio, and one Friday morning I received Beta 99. And Beta 99 was the first revision that supported live streaming.
Uh-huh.
And it came with a note saying that live streaming does not really work. We advise you not using it at this time.
But here it is.
So I started screwing around with it, and I found out it did work. So that night, Friday Night Live is considered to be the very first show ever on the internet broadcast live in Real Audio. It was the first live, you know, radio broadcast, and the folks at Real Audio were both happy with me and upset with me at the same time because they wanted to, you know, break the news that live streaming worked on their own, and I kind of busted their bubble a little bit. But oh well.
Oh well.
Oh well.
Yeah. So I ran a website called the Tech Talk Network Cyber Geek Gateway.
Oh, that's a mouthful.
Yeah. So we had all the shows that were on the Tech Talk Network. We had Mike Reynolds had a show. We had Dean Spratt. He's now gone as well, unfortunately. And a couple other guys. And it was a really neat thing because it was just all tech all the time. We had a subcarrier on the satellite, and we were airing off the SkyVision channel. So you can watch about satellite receivers on your screen and all the new satellite stuff coming out while you were listening to us. And that was always really, really cool. But again, I'd take all the audio and air it live and also then re-encode it so people could download it later.
Very
so
cool.
I was always involved in the satellite aspect of that thing. I got into more of the live audio streaming and started doing commercial radio stations here in Connecticut. And then one day I got a phone call from a guy down in Texas who just said he signed all the Clear Channel stations and took all my stations from me and told me that he would host all my streaming for me at his company at no charge because he felt bad about taking my customers away from me, which were my radio stations. That person, of course, is Mark Cuban. So that's a kind of interesting thing there.
Very.
So getting into online forums about satellite, you know, we've always had the Delphi board and stuff going back, and I was always involved in that and chatting in IRC and things like that. But then there was a online forum called DBS Dish, which was the first real forum out there for people to talk about DBS satellites. And around that time, I moved out and couldn't have my big 10-foot dish anymore, but I could have a small satellite dish. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to start learning about this. So I went over to DBS Dish and started learning and got my system and started helping people out with their systems and things like that. DBS Dish went away, and it became DBS Forums. And again, was very helpful there. And then there was a receiver that came out. I can't remember which receiver it was now. It's been so long ago. But, oh, it's a Dish player. The Dish player was the first real DVR on the market. It had built-in web TV. It was partially made by Dish, and it was partly made by Microsoft. Very cool receiver, even by today's standards. Still a really neat receiver, way ahead of its time, where you had internet and TV meshed together and a DVR. No other device was like it at its time. It was an incredible device. Well, anyways, the Dish people screwed up the software royally, and so a lot of people's Dish players were not working correctly. So a lot of
I definitely remember that time.
DBS forum. Yeah, so people started complaining at DBS forums about this, and it got to be so many complaints that the owner of the forum said, hey, we don't want you guys complaining about this anymore. And so someone else started up DBS Talk. And DBS Talk, I helped them start up and get going, and I was actually over there for a few years. And then I don't want to get too far into it, but the owner was getting kind of upset with me that everybody was calling his site Scott's DBS Talk. And so one day I went to log in, and my account was deactivated there.
Oh,
yeah. So the owner never contacted me or anything like that. So, someone else called me. And I was doing all the maintenance, all the programming and everything of that site.
Right. That's what I was going to say. You were doing everything for them, you know.
Yeah. So I was doing all the backups of programming. As I said, I didn't even know PHP, but learned PHP to get the site running and add things to it. We added Arcade. We had, you know, all kinds of neat stuff in there. And so he had one of his other staff members call me up and tell me that he was upset with me. And I said, why would he do this to me? I'm the person who runs the board. I'm the person who does the backups. So I guess this person went and told the owner that I had all the backups and was going to put a copy of his site online using his database because I had the backups.
A little bit of stirring the pot going on there.
Yeah, so I hit the sidelines and was upset about it, of course, because I enjoyed talking to people about it. And then one of the moderators over there, John Korn, called me up and said, Scott, you were doing all the work. Why don't you just put up your own site? And I said, you think so? And he goes, yeah, everybody will follow you over there. You know, you're the life of the board. So I said, well, let me think about it. And so I downloaded some software and fooled around with it for a little bit. Then I said, I don't know what to name the board. And, you know, I said, I don't want it to be about me.
Right.
So I said, well, let's call it Satellite Guys. And it was a play off my initials, SG.
Right.
That's where I got the Satellite Guys from, because Satellite is S and Guys is G.
Very cool.
And it was Satellite Guys with an S at the end because I didn't want it to be all about me. So I think it was 2 days later, Satellite Guys opened up to the world. I think within our first week, we had over 2,000 members.
And off the top of your head, how many members are on Satellite Guys now?
Close to 200,000 registered users, but 80% of the people who use Satellite Guys never register or log in. There are some months where we do over 500,000 unique IP addresses. So just people looking for information, they go there and you know, they find what they're looking for, and then
right.
don't need to log in. That's that. But that's how Satellite Guys was born, and it's been a labor of love. It's never been a business to me. It's been a hobby. You know, some people smoke, some people drink, some people go bowling. You know, my hobby is running Satellite Guys.
So what you're telling me is other people have less destructive habits.
Sometimes my wife wishes I had some of the other hobbies.
Now, you know, the site definitely has a very good relationship with one of the one of the subscription providers. Could you tell us a little bit about how this relationship started, who it is, and tell us a little bit about that?
Well, actually, when we first started up, in fact, for our first, let's say almost 5 years, we were the enemy. They didn't like us. We were spilling the rumors that they didn't want to get spilled yet. We were telling all kinds of insider information, and they couldn't stand it. I'm actually told by multiple people there that they had my picture hanging on the wall and they had, at the security desk, and if you see this guy come towards the building, do not let him in. because dealing with this stuff and loving the technology, because, I love the dish technology. It was worlds ahead of what DirecTV had at the time when I first got it. And they were always improving it. And, you know, I made a lot of friends with people who worked at the company, and they were always feeding me information about this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is coming this way, and all this other great stuff. And
how did you turn that relationship around from, you know, being Dish Network's most hated?
Well, the way I turned it around was I started sneaking into their retailer event. Me with Claude Greiner, we opened up dishstore.net. And since I was running his website for him, I was an employee of his. He was a Dish Network retailer. That enabled me to get into the Dish Network retailer event.
Yep.
So once they finally got to see me and get to know me, it was very interesting. In fact, that brings up an interesting story about my first time I met Charlie Ergen. In fact, it was the first time I went to a Dish Network retailer event. This is when they introduced the Super Dish. The Super Dish was going to be this great dish for using the 129 satellite.
Right.
And they're going to put all the high definition over there and do all kinds of stuff with it. But I don't know. The rocket scientists over there didn't figure out that the 129 signal didn't reach northeast and down south in Florida, so it was kind of useless for them.
Whoops.
To put all these national channels on. So anyways, I went to this thing in Baltimore, Maryland, and it was a special team summit they held. It wasn't a regular team summit. It was a special one. And, of course, I had the inside information on what the Super Dish was about. So retailers in the building were seeing me, and they're all surrounding me in a big circle. I mean, I had about 20, 30 people around with me, and I'm explaining what the Super Dish is going to be used for before Dish announced what it's going to be used for. And have you ever done something like when you're in school or somewhere else and you started talking about somebody or something and you felt the presence from behind you and you turn around with that person?
Yeah, yeah, it was a Catholic school, and I got a wrap across my knuckles.
Well, that's what happened. I was telling everybody what the Super Dish was going to do, and I felt this presence from behind me. I didn't even see him. I just felt the presence from behind me. So I turned around and looked, and there's Charlie Ergen. Yep, there he is. And I turned around looking at him. He's like, no, don't stop. He goes, but to be honest with you, I find more stuff out from your website than I do from my own internal employees. So there I am explaining the entire Super Dish thing to him and the group of retailers that are around me. And after that, me and Charlie got buddy-buddy. I mean, he was asking me questions. We had some beers together. We had a good time. And, that's when it started going there. But the problem at Dish at the time was their marketing people were totally against online networking. They were totally against the social network scene. And everything I tried doing, they tried putting a kibosh on. In fact, they did put a kibosh on it numerous times, even though Charlie was behind me and saying, hey, we should do something.
Yeah.
The marketing department was saying, no, this is not the way it's done. We need to control everything, and you're a loose cannon. We don't want you. So we've had numerous meetings over the years, and then we start building a relationship with a marketing person and starting to get them on our side. And it's frustrating because you start building this relationship, and then the person quits or they get fired.
Right.
So now you got a new person coming in, and you got to start all over again, square one. And for years and years and years, I was pushing for what we have now as known as the DIRT team, which stands for Dish Network Internet Response Team. And I said, you know, you've got a forum there where you've got hundreds of thousands of your customers, and when they have dish problems, they come to us first. They don't go and call your 800 number. They come to us. I said, it'd be nice to have a few customer service representatives there who can help people with some of their questions, and it also lowers your cost. Dish Network's never given us a dime. I never asked for a dime from Dish Network. And it took a good 4 years before they finally broke down and said, okay, Scott, you're right. We're going to give you a team on your website. And I said, that's great. And I said, but there's one other thing I want. And they said, what's that? I said, if you do this on my site, you need to do it for other sites as well. And they're looking at me kind of funny, and they're like, but Scott, if we do it on your website, you get like the exclusive on it. And I said, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people to get help where they're at. And they kind of scratch their heads at it, but I guess they're happy with it now because, you know, they got their Facebook and some other sites they visit from time to time. But their biggest place they get questions or helping people out is on Satellite Guys. In fact, I've been told that Satellite Guys sells more Dish Network systems, upgrades, receivers, and supplies than any Dish Network retailer in the United States.
Wow.
And that's kind of incredible and kind of stupid to me because, as I say, I'm not making a cent off these guys. But I do want them there because the main purpose of Satellite Guys when we first started it was for members to help other members get more from their satellite systems.
Yep.
And I think we've done that well. You know, there have been bumps in the roads, but, we pull up our pants and go on after that.
You know, what is one of the success stories that you can share with us about a DIRT team member? Where does this fit into, the customer retention or the upgrade? Do you have any stories that you could share?
I can give you a couple of different stories. The first one was I found out they were going to be offering a special price on a receiver that that they didn't advertise. And before they even had a chance to mention it themselves, so many Satellite Guys members called up and ordered them, they sold out of them before they could mention it themselves.
I guess the success of that story depends on which side of the story you're on.
Yep. But in helping customers, we have numerous people come on there, and they've been given the runaround because, you know, you call customer support, and I'll give this credit. Their customer support has improved 1,000% over the past 5-6 years. But, they get a customer, and they get a bogus charge on their bill, or something's wrong, and the local retailer who installed it said there's nothing wrong with their system, when there is something wrong with the system, and blah, blah, blah. And this person just wants to cancel. They hate Dish. And I said, have you contacted DIRT yet?
Right.
No, who's DIRT? No, contact DIRT, and they will help you out. And let me know your outcome.
This is one example where we don't want it to be a dirty little secret.
No. But they contact DIRT. DIRT looks into it. They do the checking on it, and they're able to help out the customer 99% of the time. And everything I hear about them is praise. I mean, the DIRT team members are not your normal Dish Network CSRs. They're actually in the executive office.
No, they've helped me several times, too, and they're always, get right to it. No, they're a lot smarter, or they've been taught a lot better than the rest of them.
And plus, when it comes down to it, that experience, if they're not on a forum, what could be a very minor incident can turn very major because, as you guys know, things on the forum sometimes takes a left turn when you're just left there standing going, the heck just happened? And a non-incident can sink a company. And so I think, the whole DIRT concept is awesome because they take those little incidents and they turn it into a success story, like you said, the majority of the time.
That's and I'm extremely proud of that. I mean, that's what we're about. It's helping others.
Well, before we move into any other subjects, some things are in the news right now about Dish Network. You know, first of all, I think the biggest thing that I've been hearing about and seeing these pop-ups on my screen is the Time Warner channels. Can you share anything about what's going on with that?
Well, Bish hasn't exactly shared anything with me on this. In fact, from the little information I've been able to get from the inside, the removal of the channels was a surprise to them. They only had a couple hours notice from what I know. And I've also read that on various news reports that it was Turner who said to Dish, we want our channel turned off now. You don't have a contract for them anymore. A lot of people are upset online about it, thinking that, you know, Dish just played this trick on them and removed their channels without any warning. There was no warning that the channels were coming down because Dish didn't know they're coming down. If there was any warning, it would have came about an hour to 2 hours before the channels came down. And that's when most people were sleeping. It was after midnight here on the East Coast. I think they came down at 2 a.m. Eastern time. So yeah. A lot of people wouldn't have known anyways, even if they did give you the heads up an hour beforehand.
Right. Now, if anybody out there is, I know that you're probably, everybody's tuned into the World Series right now. But if you have any opinions on what's going on, you know, give us a call. Share your ideas of what we're talking about here. 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897. And for international callers, you probably don't receive Dish Network anyway. But you, if you want to save us a dime, well, yeah.
You can still call.
You still can call. 347-327-9319. Now, I was reading kind of an interesting take on this. One of the takes was that Turner could really be hurt by all of this because, as we know, the whole spotlight on CNN is kind of starting to fade. And I read an interesting story this morning about, you know, during this shutoff, will people suddenly realize, hey, CNN doesn't have much relevance anymore? Is it really a must-have channel? And so it really kind of was this thing of who will get hurt by Dish Network not being able to carry these channels right now?
I don't know. You know, this morning with what happened in Canada, a lot of people probably tuned to CNN to find it gone and ended up watching MSNBC or Fox News. And that was 14 million eyeballs. Or 14 million households that were not watching CNN because Turner decided to pull the plug on them on Dish Network. I think that was a big mistake by Turner. And in another 2 weeks, if things aren't done, then TNT and TBS will also be pulled because those contracts are up as well.
And I hear that is part of what Time Warner wants to do, is that they want to move these two events or these two time distances closer together. Just kind of right now, it seems that TNT is kind of on the fringe with their NBA games, and so they're not really identified as part of the one contract. And it sounds like Time Warner wants to bring these two contracts together as one. Is that the impression you have?
Yeah. From my understanding is that the original contract for these channels that were removed expired back in June. And then these other two expire at the end of October. You know, I can kind of see Time Warner's reasoning for wanting to tie them all together. That gives them a little more leverage, ultimately. I don't see a winning game here for them because each day they're not on Dish, they're losing tons and tons of revenue just in advertising alone, not even covering the subscriber fees. I believe they're getting $365 million or something like that from Dish for the channels.
And
so,
to tie,
you know,
in something
small
as
change.
Yeah, to tie in something as viewed as TNT NBA and saying, hey, you know, you also have to take CNN. You know, that would have been unheard of 15, 20 years ago when CNN was the leader. But, you know, right now it's just become another sub channel, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I ultimately believe, and it's just my opinion and it's the gut talking, that this one will not last too long. Turner will have to cave. And, you know, are we the consumers going to see our prices go down because Dish fought with them? Hell no. When they tell you they're the low price leader, they're the low price leader for themselves, but they're not going to lower your bill, you know, because of this. Let's just be honest about it.
Right.
But I respect what they're doing, and you know, ultimately, again, it was Turner who said pull the plug on them, and now it's Turner who's hurting because the plug was pulled on them.
You know, and we're starting to see 14 million
households today could not see.
Yeah, and we're starting to see some things going on, like the Viacom that's going on right now. You know, they're trying to do this big campaign, kind of like it almost feels like what the Weather Channel tried pulling last year. Hey, we're so important, you better switch providers. I think people are starting to realize that there is stuff out there like, you know, Roku, like, you know, FTA, like, you know, you put a name on it, and there are so many other ways to get service, to get these services. Like today, I was watching FTA for what's coming out of Canada. I tuned into CTV.
Right.
So I watched it directly from the source, and it was quite interesting. You couldn't even hardly get any White House press coverage of what was going on in Canada. That was preempting, you know, a live shooting incident. So it was quite interesting to, you know, all the other sources that are out there right now. You know, the political bias, I think, is really starting to turn people off on every side of the fence.
It really hurt them today, and I don't think they expected a big national incident like this or international incident.
Hey, at least they weren't running extreme weather sitcom over it.
Yeah, let's see here. Oh, I wanted to mention something, and I teased about this online, and I told people that they had to listen live tonight. If I could get to that, if you don't mind.
Definitely. Go right ahead.
All right. All right, here we go. Just have to give my wife something, and there we go. Okay, guys, for those listening, as we were talking about before, we built up a pretty decent relationship with Dish Network over the past couple of years. So much so that we've been having some of our members become beta testers for Dish Network, testing various products and services and stuff with us. It's been a unique agreement with them. And we're the only non-Dish EchoStar employees in the general public who are out here testing this new software. Now, Dish came to me last week and asked me to find a very small number of additional beta testers for their Dish Hopper system. And so that's what I'm looking for now. I'm looking for the power users, the people who know their Hopper inside and out, the people who go to Satellite Guys and are helping others with their Hoppers, answering their Hopper questions. And I'm looking to build a list tonight from those people who are listening live. And then tomorrow morning I want to take that list and submit it to Dish so they can pick the small number of beta testers to test the Dish Hopper. The requirements of this are you must be a Dish Network customer. You must have a Dish Hopper or Hopper with Sling. You must not be in any NDAs or testing with any other satellite providers like DirecTV. And you must be willing to help them out in reporting any bugs you find on their website. If you are interested in possibly being a Dish Hopper beta tester, PM me tonight. All through tonight, all the way till 9 a.m. tomorrow, I'm going to be accepting PMs. After that, I'm going to cut it off. I'm going to take the names, and I'm going to submit them to Dish, and Dish is actually going to do the choosing of the people. I'm not going to choose the people. But we have, I believe it's 5 slots open for beta testers for Dish Hopper. And, you know, while I'm not saying anything, you may be testing software, you may be testing, you know, future hardware. And the better tester you are, the better chances you have of testing new things that are not currently available. Also, another requirement that I did not mention is that an NDA, non-disclosure agreement, must be signed with Dish EchoStar in order to test, because what you're going to be seeing and testing is not available to the general public and Mr. Slugworth would give you an everlasting gobstopper if you knew what was going on with some of this stuff. So that's the big announcement I got tonight for the people listening who are the diehard Hopper users. If you're interested, send me a private message on satellite, guys. You must do it tonight, though, because I got to get the list to them tomorrow at 9 a.m. And, again, unfortunately, not everybody's going to be selected, but they will go in there and pick who they think, judging by, you know, the postings that they've done online, who can best go in there and beat the system up to break it, to find the bugs, and help them get new and better software out there for everybody.
Very cool opportunities.
Very cool.
Very cool. Thank you for sharing that with us, Scott. So all listeners, if you are a Power Hopper user and you are interested in becoming a tester of things unknown but sounding pretty mighty special, contact Scott by PM this evening, and you might have a tremendous opportunity to try some stuff before anyone else. So that is very cool. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, and I thank Dish for that opportunity. And they've been rather impressed with our testers, because you got to understand, these guys are sitting in a lab environment all day, and they're trying different things, but they're set in their ways of testing things, and they're not your average home user who goes home and tries doing this, which equals the box going, what the hell did that person just do, and I'm going to crash now.
Right.
Well, very good. Now,
so
a couple...
Our beta...
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, our beta testers are good at breaking things.
Yeah, I think I have some of those same customers once in a while for my gear. Hey, a couple other things. Any new word on the Dish IPTV service?
I have not heard anything recently about it. You know, we get bits and pieces here, but it's starting to look now like they're going to wait until CES to unveil it.
Okay.
Originally, it was slated to be done by November.
Okay.
But the way it's going now, I'm expecting CES to be some big news there.
All right. Now, of course, there was the filing for EchoStar 18 to be built and placed in the 110 West slot with a ton of spot beams on that bird. What came out in that was a little information about a Dish DirecTV agreement on the usage of that satellite. Do you have any information on that?
I do not have any information about that, but actually kind of interesting, because back on August 21st, I believe, I started hearing rumors that they could be exchanging or being given a chance to purchase slots at 119, because DirecTV is looking to wean off 119. All their dishes coming out now do not have 119 LMDs on it.
Right.
And the talk was, as a condition of the merger, that they would give up those transponders to Dish, either give them up or sell them to them or something. And that would be a major thing for Dish, because then they could really mirror the Eastern Arc and Western Arc nicely, because they, you know, would have the same amount of transponders between the slots there.
Right.
So,
and
that would be an incredible thing.
And also, it does seem like the 110 slot is kind of the temporary parking spot for any bird that goes up. It seems like they always want to put their most current technology. So, you know, talking about what you just brought up there, it might make a lot of sense that what they're initially proposing for 110 actually might go over to an expanded service on 119.
It could definitely do it. So, some interesting things coming down the line there. The FCC today put the stop clock on hold, as they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with certain legal documents with programmers and keeping them confidential. They're trying to figure out the proper procedure there, because they don't want to expose stuff that's supposed to be confidential. So the shot clock has been stopped for the DirecTV AT&T merger, and it's also been stopped for Time Warner and Comcast as well.
Very good. I had not heard that. Interesting. Okay.
No.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing there. Now, people may ask about satellite guys in DirecTV. We started off working with DirecTV, and then they kind of felt that I knew Charlie too good, and they didn't want to work on us too much anymore. And, you know, Charlie Ergen and I are an interesting duo. I like to call him my friend, but I don't know if he considers me his friend or not. you know, if we see each other, we have pleasantries. We can joke around with each other. There's been times in the past where I've received a phone call from him and he's been looking for help with his iPad, type of thing. It's just, Charlie's an interesting person, but we don't really talk a lot. And when we do talk, it's usually not about satellite, which is kind of interesting. And to be honest with people, I haven't talked to Charlie since last year sometime for more than like 2 or 3 minutes. So, you know, people think that Scott has Charlie's ear and Charlie's always talking to Scott and vice versa. That's not the case at all. So DirecTV was kind of worried about that. And last year at CES, we did meet Mike White. And after CES, me and Mike White were conversing via emails back and forth, and he was actually very pleasant in his emails and opened up a couple doors for us with DirecTV on a number of things. And then this AT&T DirecTV merger came out, and, you know, that's the last I heard of Mike White because he's now tied up with all that stuff going on. So I'm looking forward to CES this year to see if we can make more inroads there, because I want to offer DirecTV everything that I offer to Dish. I want their CSRs there. I want them to be able to help their customers. I'm looking to help DirecTV help their customers and save them money in the long run on support costs, because support costs on a forum that they're not paying for or dying for and having a couple CSRs stop in a couple times a day is a lot cheaper than 20,000, 30,000 people calling in when there's a signal outage trying to figure out what's going on. You know, when things like that happen, people know now to come to satellite guys first and say, hey, is the 110 satellite down? And someone will look and say, yep or nope. And if it is down, we put a thing on the homepage and say, hey, you're having trouble with your DirecTV system. Don't worry about it. There's a problem, and it should be resolved soon. That type of thing there. So that saved DirecTV or Dish, you know, big bucks, just people calling up and saying, hey, my satellite's not working. What the heck's going on? You know, we could be a big cost savings to them and also improve the customer service experience, because now they're getting personalized service with a name they see on a forum all the time. And they know if they need help, they know where they can go and get that support that they need. Don't have to worry about calling and speaking to somebody in India or some other foreign land. Someone right here in the U.S. that can take care of their needs and is part of the community. And I want DirecTV to be part of that. The door has always been open to them, and it's still open to them. And hopefully we can meet with them more this year at CES. Last year at CES was kind of interesting. We got to go down to their hidden room at the MGM, which was kind of nice. And we actually saw DirecTV 4K there. And it was a beautiful picture. It was coming off HR 24, I believe. And it was spitting out the signal, it was spitting out the 4K signal over the Ethernet jack. It wasn't coming out of an HDMI cable. It was going from Ethernet into the Ethernet on the TV, and the TV was decoding it. It was actually really slick setup. And as DirecTV announced a couple weeks ago, they're going to begin offering 4K within the next couple weeks, certain video on demand stuff. So really interesting stuff. You know, there, and we want to work with them. I'm not a Dish fan. I'm not a DirecTV fan. I'm a technology fan.
You know,
and I'm a fan of helping people out.
And if we look at the history of how DirecTV, the relationship, with the setting up of the dirt, you know, the whole thing of, you know, I don't want to be your exclusive. I want to be part of your solution. So the history is there about the cooperation. And so it would just be fantastic if DirecTV could be brought in. So indeed,
exactly,
satellite guys could be that one stop for all subscription vendors.
And that was a big reason why I did that, Brian. When I told them that I didn't want to be the exclusive site of that, it's because I did not want to be known as the Dish site. I want to be known as the support site. It doesn't matter for DirecTV. You know, we've got people from Time Warner, Bright House, that help people out in our cable television forums. Bright House has been having really good luck in our forums and helping people out. And they've got a rep that goes in there a couple times a week and answers people's questions and helps them out. So it's I want any company that's, you know, selling services to people for television, if they want to send support people over to satellite guys, I welcome them with open arms. I give them, you know, special access so they have their access to the forums. They can sticky stuff. You know, they got news they want to break. They can, you know, make it a sticky. They can close threads. If someone goes in there and says, hi, I have such and such cable company and I'm having trouble with it, and my account number is 555-1212-78019, and my telephone number is this, the last four digits of my credit card number are this, and they post that in their forum, the cable, whoever is running that forum can go in there and say, hey, that shouldn't be online, and they can actually delete that, take it out of public view, you know, by themselves, so they happen to ask a satellite guy's staff member. So right. It's kind of like giving them their own forum, basically, where they're running themselves.
Well, and kind of visiting, you know, some of those forums, I just wanted to say, in the last couple of years, there have been so many great little niche forums started up, and I just wanted to point out that, you know, it isn't just Dish Network, it isn't just DirecTV or Free to Air. There are some great knowledge on there. The Trip with his over the air participation, the phones, mm-hmm. The IPTV, Android, and so just. There are so many forums for anybody interested in technology. Check out satelliteguys.us because there is most likely a forum on there that addresses the interests that you have in a specific technology.
Yeah, one of the things going forward and one of the things we've always been looking to do is we've always been trying to be like your little neighborhood bar, a friendly right. place you can go and just hang out and be yourself. You know, if you want to just shoot the breeze with somebody, we got a place you can shoot the breeze. If you want to talk about what you had for dinner last night, you can do that. Want to share a recipe? You can do that. We got forums set up for talking about television shows and some interesting stuff going on there, so people can go in and, you know, discuss what they saw on NCIS last night. That kind of thing. According to Quantcast, these numbers are from last year. I haven't gotten numbers for this year. Satellite Guys was the second largest home theater forum in the United States, which is yeah. pretty major.
Very.
Yeah, it is.
Very much. Well, very interesting. So tell me a little bit about now, what do you watch at home? What's catching most of your viewing and entertainment time nowadays?
Well, I don't want to turn this into an ad for the Alien 3, the Amico Alien 3 box, but I love that box. I use that in my Roku 3 a majority of the time, just because what I want to watch is there all the time. I've been testing out some software, play on software, and trying some different things. And I'm actually able to watch a lot of these IPTV services, including Netflix, TuneIn Radio, WWE Network, all these things. I'm now able to watch them on my Dish Hopper by using this play-on TV software.
Okay.
So that's kind of putting me back with Dish, with the Dish Hopper, because I like having everything in all one box, but the A3 is really, 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 really cool. I mean, this is my dream box, and it's been working really well. So those three things there, and they're starting to play with this display on thing on the Hopper. It's that. And the funny thing about the Hopper is a lot of my viewing lately has been IPTV.
Right. You know, and kind of bringing this back to some announcements that were made in the last week since the last show, you know, we had HBO come out and say, well, we feel we're missing the OTT train. You know, there's a whole bunch of people out there that will not buy our service as a package. So we're going to offer our own service. And then a day later, CBS comes out. Now, you know, I've kind of shared a little bit on the forums about some of my gut feelings about sticker shock on the price. But what do you see mm-hmm. is happening right now? I mean, are we seeing a transition happening right now from package to a la carte?
I don't think it's going to be a la carte like you want it. You know, with CBS, you're going to do it. And right now it's just going to be, you know, the CBS network. But pretty soon it's going to be packaging in other stuff, CBS properties that you don't want. HBO, when they do launch the HBO, I've heard some inside rumors on that, saying that it's not going to be the HBO you're getting off satellite. And certain shows that are hot may not show on that HBO online until a week later, if not more. And it's not going to be a mirrored image of the HBO you're getting off satellite or getting off cable. So there's some differences there that may keep people saying, hey, I want to keep my satellite, I want to keep cable, because I don't want to wait 2 weeks to watch this show. I want to see it when it airs the first time.
Right. And I honestly can't see how you can shoot, you know, your current lover in the foot as you as you go out and start dating other people. I mean, it's one of those
things. That's what the WWE network is.
Yeah, well, we've seen how wildly successful that's been. I wish them luck, but they certainly should not have slammed the door as they were testing the waters. I'm kind of very curious, though. CBS, I think they've overestimated the value of their service. I do not see CBS properties, even though it's access to their archive, as being a $6 a month value to me. And if you put that
on... No, $2.99 would be the top.
Yeah, yeah. And I see the brilliance in the iTunes, you know, bleed them slowly. You know, 99 cents at the end of the month, you spent $50, but hey, you know, you did it only a few cents at a time.
Yeah. Brian, if I could add one more thing about satellite guys, because I know we're running out of time here.
Yeah.
I would like to say a sincere thank you to everybody who supported the site over the past 11 years. The pub membership is something we offer to people for $19.99 a year, I believe. And you sign up for it, and it gets rid of, you know, all the max ads and helps support the site, and it helps us pay the bills. And there's been hundreds of people over the last 11 years who helped support the site and keep it free. Believe it or not, the ads we run, especially now, are not paying the bills. So majority of the bills being paid are by people who are doing their pub memberships. So, again, thank you to them. You know, this is still my hobby, but you guys are helping me run it. So that way we can keep the lights on for everybody. I don't have to make it a members-only type site. I like letting everybody read it. So, again, thank you to everybody who supported the site over the last 11 years. We couldn't have done it without you.
Well, thank you very much, Scott, for being our guest this evening. We just want to thank you for your time and for running such a great site. Need to wrap things up here. We've been on with Scott Krakowski, owner of Satellite Guys. Catch you next week, everybody. Good night.
Bye. Good night, everybody.
To all that tuned in tonight. Join Satellite Guys Michael and Brian next Wednesday for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. And don't forget to like our page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio. Until next week, good night.